Good morning, one and all.
We can also say that we are the strong and we are the few and the mighty and all those things that are together. How's that sound? Good to see each and every one of you today, and I pray that as we spend time together around God's Word that we will enjoy the things that are given as we learn together. You can see I do have a slide presentation, and no, I did not make copies of the slides. But I would encourage you to write down some of the things that we're looking at today. And as we get started this morning, I thought about this, is that we're living in a time where the Word of God is so compromised and it is so shallow. And it depends upon what is being taught. And in fact, I've got to be careful not to criticize individuals that do not look in the things the same way we do. We are a King James Church. And a lot of people might say, well, why do you find it so necessary? And I said, well, if you've got about a week, I can tell you everything that is there, you know, because it's impossible to be able to explain everything in detail. But what got me started on this, and I had been thinking about doing something like this for the church. As you know, many people will be celebrating this week the birth of Christ, and the others, of course, celebrate a man in a red suit, and I don't care about that as well. But anyway, the one thing that I found that was so interesting is I was listening to a local station and early in the morning, and I was listening, and it was the Urban Alternative. I don't know how many of you ever listened to that. Dr. Tony Evans is the one who writes on that. And he's got a distinct style about him. He has a very powerful message that he speaks. Now, understand this, is that he's in a rough neighborhood, and he has built a church. Now, of course, we know it's not a Baptist church, but it is amazing how much that he has an influence. In fact, he also goes down to Dallas and has a work that is there. But if you ever get a chance, listen to the Urban Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans. And he is a successful writer as well as a successful speaker as well, and God uses him in many ways. He doesn't bring a shallow message. If you ever listen to him, you will scratch your head and you'll go back and look at things yourself. Well, I bring up Brother Evans for this reason. I was listening to his series on prophecy. Now, that may seem like a crazy place to begin, but the one thing that Dr. Evans brought out in regards to prophecy was, if at any moment the prophecy is wrong, then everything else is wrong. So the thing that I find, and it was interesting that Brother Randy brought it up last week, that Isaiah chapter 53, Jewish scholars have written a tremendous book to say why Jesus could not be what is written in Isaiah chapter 53. And yet, if you go back and especially read Matthew 1 and 2 as well as Luke 1 and 2, you will find over and over again this statement that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled. And the reason that I enjoy that so much is that it gives a confidence that Jesus is the Messiah, because in every aspect it was fulfilled. Now, the reality is that when you take a look at it, there are so many areas to where people don't want to go back in and study it completely. They don't want to study it completely. They only want to study certain things, and then they want to ignore the rest. It is also interesting, and I'll probably get shot for anybody who listens to this, and I've discussed this with Greg, and I discussed it with Dennis. Believe it or not, one of the things that we find, especially in the time which we live in, we all have been convinced to accept the birth of Jesus Christ as December the 25th. Every one of us. And if you want to know more, I'll tell you a little bit later, but it all revolves around B.C. and A.D. And we're going to get into that a little bit later today as well. But one of the things I want us to do is I want us to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And that's where we're going to start off today. And Genesis, chapter 3. And if you want, you can go ahead, Joe, and let's go to the very first slide. And you'll notice that I will give you the slides. Now, if you have a pen and paper, I recommend that you write these down because we're not going to spend all the time necessary to write every little detail down. Or I'm not going to look up every verse as we go in. But I want to encourage you to look at these verses together. I promise you these are right out of the King James. And every little detail that is there and should be without question. Well, remember this, in Genesis chapter 3, you have the fall of Adam and as he has partaken of the fruit. And quite literally, everything that the Lord speaks to Adam, beginning with Genesis, we'll go down to chapter 3. And if you will, let's go to verse 10. And it says, "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Speaking of another sermon, it's right there, it's right off the bat. Who do I blame? And again, verse 13, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent did beguile me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Now I could read on down, but suffice it enough that we're going to look beginning at verse 15, and I will try to do my best to have as little commentary as possible as we look at these particular verses today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, I want to thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us today. And I know, Father, that wherever we look at it, that there are so many people that they misunderstand what the Word of God says. They have their own particular agenda that they want to handle or to do. And there's so many other areas, Father, that we can focus upon. But the truth is, and the reality of it is, that, Lord, all the good things that you have from your Word are for our benefit, that we might know and have confidence that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah. And Father, we cannot say that we are literally celebrating the birth of Christ every day of the year unless, Father, we really mean it in our hearts. And Father, I pray that you might give us an understanding, not just at this time of year with all the fancy music and everything that goes on, but I pray, Father, that we might take the Word of God in hand, enjoy it, grow from it, and again, Lord, that we might have the blessings that you will bestow upon us as well. So bless not only the scriptures that we will be looking at today, help us, dear Father, to focus upon your Word and your Word alone, and we will rejoice in thy name, for it's in Christ we pray. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to bring the church into any kind of consternation or to try to get people to look at us in a downward casting eye. But let me just say this, is that more than anything, whenever we take a look at our holidays, we ought to understand something, that are we really giving the glory to God? And I know so many people that they love to cite Spurgeon. And they say, well, you know, what did Spurgeon have to say about this holiday that's coming up? And Spurgeon had two points on it. Number one, he condemned it altogether. Spurgeon condemned Christmas. But you got to remember this, and I would recommend this to every member of this church. If you want to see an interesting movie, and it's pretty true, it actually says The Man Who Invented Christmas. And it's about Charles Dickens and what he went through. And it's most interesting that in the 1850s, or in that area, that it was stated that it was an insignificant holiday. How many of us think of that now? I mean, look where it has gone from. And again, and at the very end, they have a Christmas tree that has stood up, and he goes, it's the latest thing from Germany, 1850. Up to that time, the English never had it. Now, I will tell you that I've had the pleasure of living in England, and they do not make it anything like the Americans do. I guarantee you that when it comes to the holidays, the Americans go overboard on everything. And and I tell people this, is that I am glad that I had the opportunity to live in the other country. But it is amazing that even in England to this day, they still focus upon the Lord God on everything that they do. Now, what I find is that, and I'm talking about the strict Baptist churches, because strict Baptists in many ways are very much similar to the way we hold to. And the strict Baptists, they meet together, they sing the praises of God, they share the scripture, and that's all they do. They don't make a great big point of it. Well, remember this, as Americans, we literally live in a pendulum. We're either all the way over on this way, we're all the way over in this way, but we never find a true medium of purpose. I'll give you an example of this verse. And I will put enmity between the woman and thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So when you take a look at this is a verse that immediately stands out for us to take a look at, it because it says that there is going to be one that comes of the seed of the woman. And I love what Tony Evans said about this. He said, at the moment that it was written, everyone knew that the seed did not come from a woman. Now, I will tell you this, is that, you know, it's oftentimes stated, we learned this all the way from back in school, that the chromosomes, man gives either X or Y chromosome, and the woman only supplies the X chromosome, and so two X's create a female, XY creates a male. And they said, this is where this all comes in, and then they say, so if you have a bunch of boys, it's all the man who made the determination. I said, no, I said, we actually give X and Y, and the woman has to make a decision. Which one do you want? But we'll leave it at that. But the reality is that this was stated that before any sexual contact would ever occur, this woman was going to conceive. It's beyond our understanding because we don't see this. Now, understand, a woman never has seed. So why was the seed put in? It is pointed out that because this woman is going to have a child on her own, that no man, no earthly man is going to have an impact upon it. And in verse 31 of Luke chapter 1, it says this, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, we're going to expand it a little bit more. I love this verse, folks. I want you to understand that the reason that I love this verse is because everything is put into place. Now, here is Mary, visited by Gabriel, and Gabriel comes upon the scene and he goes, blessed art thou among women, not above women. By the way, you want to talk about something that's going to destroy Catholicism. They love to lift Mary up, don't they? And they've actually idealized Mary and they made her into a goddess, if you will. And yet, nowhere does it ever say that she is above women. In fact, if you ever take a look at what Jesus said, many times he rebuked her. Remember the marriage feast at Canaan? What am I to do with you, woman? My time is not yet. He was very clear that he also made sure that the world understood the distance between his mother, his earthly mother, and the world. Remember on the cross what Jesus said? Woman, behold thy son. He didn't even call her mother while he was upon the cross in the last moments of his life, his earthly life. Woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother. Reality is that, once again, John, this is going to be the one that you have to take care of, and she shall be a mother to you. But Jesus was very careful to also to keep that away from there. So this is the beginning. This verse, now think about this. This goes all the way back to the book of Genesis with the fall of man and the promises given at this moment that one was going to come. But it would take many centuries ahead to be able to show everybody how this was going to unfold. Brother Joe, if you'll go to the next one. And by the way, the book of Genesis is filled with all these things. Now, notice again, this is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 3, 1 through 3. Here is the first emphasis And there's so much that goes on between this. And think about this for a moment. Here we have the corruption of the earth. And in Genesis chapter 6, what does it say? Is that the Lord looked upon the earth and he saw that it was with man always evil continually. And yet he found grace Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So the plan of God was never thwarted, because all along, though he was going to destroy the world, he would save one, and that was going to be Noah and his family. It was the plan of God. And yet, you never see the entirety of that folding out until you go in and start looking at the line of Shem. How many of you have ever looked at Genesis chapter 10 and looked at the line of Shem? How many of you ever noticed that there's one that is called Eber? Actually, if you pronounce it, the H is silent. It's Hebrew. Hebrew. Isn't it funny that they were called the Hebrews? And yet here it is in Genesis chapter 10. Well, I can give you all kinds of fun stuff like that. But finally, we get to this place. And in Genesis chapter 12, out of the line of Shem, would come this one named Terah, and Terah would have a son, and his son was named Abraham. And God looked at Abraham, and he says, Now the Lord, and I'll throw this over here, Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. I love this. Okay, Abram, now it's time for you to see how everything's going to occur. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So from Abraham came this promise. Where do we see this? We can actually go to Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It begins with Abraham. Now what's interesting is that even though it begins with Abraham, one of the things you've got to understand is it needed more development. Now, guys, I'm going to show this to you. Do you realize, and if you go back and you read Genesis chapter 10, that there was a man named Nimrod? And if you go back in and really study, and I would encourage you all to read books like the Two Babylons or Babylon Mystery Religion. And in those books, what they begin to tell you is that there was a mock Trinity that had been established. And there was a mock woman who would later on be identified as the Queen of Heaven. And in that area, she declared herself as being a virgin, and she gave forth a son, which she called Tammuz, which was supposed to be the reincarnated Nimrod. I bring that to you is because all this had to be wiped out, and it had to have a distinction to it. Do you realize, and here's where I'm coming from on that, do you realize that the Muslim nations love the fact that Abraham is their father? But then what they do, and this is, go ahead, Joe, and I'll show you the next verse. This is the verse that really perplexes them. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Do you know why that is so important? Because the Muslim nations say, oh no, not through Isaac, but through Ishmael. And what they do is they point back over to Ishmael, and that's why they say, oh, well, we'll accept the fact that Jews are our brothers, but we're not going to accept anything else unless you come through Ishmael. We're saying, oh, no. The lineage came according to God's word. It went from Abraham to Isaac. And notice what it says. And I will establish my covenant. Man, that's the beautiful part. And that, do you realize the Quran never says that God established his covenant with Ishmael? It's absolutely true. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. There is the promise, Genesis 17:19. Notice again, very simply, over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. I love that. So you say, well, why was it so important that Jacob would come on the scene? Next slide, if you will, brother, and I'll show this to you. Do you realize that Ishmael had 12 sons and 12 kids? How many kids do we actually see with Jacob? Another dozen. But it is through the line, and it's a very simple application. And the application, we see this, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. This is the Lord God speaking to Jacob. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Isn't that funny? Isn't that interesting? So the same promise that was made to Abraham was the same promise that was given to Isaac, and it is a statement that goes on in to Jacob. Look what else it says. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done all that I have spoken of thee. And Jacob wakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. I always read that part of the verse, you know why? Because most people that fall asleep in church, they wake up and they go, this is a dreadful place. Never mind. He called the place Bethel. And he knew it not. Well, again, Matthew chapter 1, verse 2 says, and the Lord begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Next slide, if you will, brother. And notice again, the thing is fair, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. This was, again, on the Mount Moriah, where, once again, we find that the Lord God had commanded Abraham to take thy son, thy only son, Isaac. Isn't it interesting? God said, thy only son, Isaac. What about Ishmael? Ishmael was not classified in the eyes of God as his son because she came through the bondwoman. It would do us all good to read Galatians and to see what that has to say. And so, notice again, he goes, all the nations. And again, in Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Come on, guys. That should be so joyful. The thing I love about this is that I can sit down with young people and I can say, look what this verse says. Look what it says. It's absolutely magnificent. It's going to be one that it's not just to the Jewish people that this message has occurred. And the Jewish people right now, for the most part, as a nation, do not see Christ as their Savior. I tell you what, folks, I love listening to Rabbi Rob Schneider whenever I get a chance. And he is on YouTube. And this man is a Jew. He's already grown down the long dreadlocks and everything. He is a Jew. He is a rabbi. And he goes, and Jesus is Messiah. Do you realize that they hate him? The Jewish people hate him for it? And yet we got the promise over in the book of Zechariah that the day is going to come that they shall look upon him whom they pierced. And they're going to believe. Man, it ought to make us excited. But wait a minute, we're Baptists. We've got to be so stoic. No, let's rejoice over the goodness that the Lord brings as well. All right? So we're going to get ready to go to the next slide. Joe's rushing over there to give me the next slide. And notice what it says there. All right. Thy scepter shall not depart from Judah. I love this one. So here it is. And I mean, think about this. There was so much of a distinction that occurred. So you have Adam. And through the line, we find that there was Noah. Then there was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. God chose Shem. And then you come down to Terah. And Terah had sons. Nahor was one of them as well. And God chose Abraham. And then Abraham had two boys, if you will, of which God chose, once again, Isaac. Isaac had two sons, of which he chose Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons, and he goes, now let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Judah is going to be the line. Judah is going to be the line. Look what it says. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh come. I love that. You know what Shiloh means? Prince of Peace. Until the Prince of Peace comes. Guys, if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, nothing will bring a tear to your eye. until Christ comes. And unto him shall be the gathering of the people. But can you see this? Come unto me. What did Jesus say over in Matthew? Come unto me, all ye that are labored and have heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what another word for rest is? Peace. Till Shiloh comes. And then what does it say here over in Revelation 5:5? And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals, the seven seals thereof. I love this. Because you see, there is no doubt in anyone's mind who it is. Oh, no. No. It's not Muhammad. It's not in the book of Quran. It's in the one who was pierced. And isn't it interesting that Jesus did not say do it by militant ways? He said, you go preach my word and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. I don't have to worry about how many people I tell about Jesus Christ, but I can take this time and say, let me tell you. And I can tell the people that he is called the Lion of Judah. He is God's Lamb. Remember what John the Baptist said? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh the sin away the sin of the world. Once again, how beautiful. Next passage, if you will. And notice what else we say. And this one's so obscure. If you might already know all these verses. I stumbled upon this one. And believe it or not, look what it says. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Now, wait a minute. Remember this, is that when Joseph had the dream that he had was that there was the sun and the moon and the 11 stars. Why didn't he say 12? Because he's one of the stars. So that pattern, the sun, Jacob, the moon, was literally the wives, or if you will, his mother, and then the sons of Jacob were stars. But there's another star. Look at this one. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter. You see, it's not just a star, it's a star with a scepter. Now come on, think about that. Who is that speaking of? Is that Judah? Oh no. Is that David? Oh no. He shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all. Look what it says. That's in Numbers 24:17. Write that bird down. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. You know, I've had so many people say, you know, and the star was, you know, down and everybody could have seen the star. I don't know. If you go to the book of Luke, it doesn't really show us that star per se, but it does show us the star in the book of Matthew. And the thing is, remember that these were astrologers, and they observed the heavens. And what made it interesting was there was a new star. I don't know how many of you have ever thought about this, but that star had to come out of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It had to be, you know, the image for them to see. And so as they beheld that star, they said, he's come. Now, how did those magi, how did those wise men, how did those astrologers know this? Well, do you know that there was a man that was in Babylon at the time, and his name was David? Do you know that there was David and the three Hebrew children? And can you imagine them sitting down with those amazing wise men as they begin to instruct, Messiah is coming. Messiah is coming. And we know they didn't just make it up. It's right there in the Word of God. His star is going to be the first thing that's going to announce that he is coming. And alive, when you see that, you're like, wow! And so, here here they are in their tent and they goes, there's something new. It's in the line of Judah. It's in the lion. He has come. He has come. And immediately, I can imagine as they went to the princes and the kings and they go, we need to hurry up. To say. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we can see that so very clearly as well as they began to make their march over to that way. Next slide, if you will, Brother Joe. And then afterwards we see this. This is another beautiful verse that we see. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels and be established in his kingdom. This is to David. I should have expanded this a little bit more. But this was David's coronation, if you will. And as David hears this message, he goes, now, once again, look at this pattern. Adam, Noah, Shem, Abram, Judah. Now there's this one little shepherd boy by the name of David. And notice again, the verses that support this. In the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. 1:1, Matthew 1:6. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Also of Luke 3:31, which is the son of Meliah, which is the son of Manan, which is the son of Mathatiah, which is the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. You say, well, why is there a difference between Luke and Matthew? Luke is Mary's account. Matthew is Joseph's account. I got to show this to you. Everybody take your Bible and let's go to Matthew chapter 1. I just now remembered this. To show you how much that God loves giving us little secrets to look at. Okay? Everybody there? Now, let's go, if you will, let's go to verse 16. Notice it says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now, why do I want to show you that verse? Jacob of the Old Testament, he had a son. What was his son's name? Joseph. And Joseph was not the line of the Messiah, but he was the guardian of the line of the Messiah. Now you come to verse 16. You have another Jacob, and you have a Joseph. And that Joseph is not the father of the Messiah, but he is the guardian. Isn't that cool? He is the guardian. He's the one that would actually be brought up. Even though he was of Judah as well, he was not of the rightful lineage. Just something to think about. All right, next slide. Don't worry, I won't charge you for that extra information. All right, next slide. Verse Psalms 22, it says, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God and my mother's from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. This is the cry of one that is now getting ready to face all the dangers of the world. Notice that this is at birth. In Luke chapter, it should be Luke chapter 2, verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Remember what Simeon said? He said this to Mary. He said, this is going to happen. Look at the next one. And he ran, they filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him the drink, saying, let him alone. Let us see if Elias will come down. Remember what he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Once again, there's the same thing that we find in Psalms chapter 22 is found also in the discovery of these verses as well. Next slide. Once again, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, a virgin. Now, here's what's interesting about Isaiah chapter 7. We know Genesis chapter 3 says that of the seed of the woman. But do you realize this is about 500 years before the birth of Christ, and now it says a virgin shall conceive. Not just anyone, but a virgin. And a virgin shall conceive, look what it says, and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And this is the thing that I find is so absolutely beautiful. It's because no matter how the world wants to paint it, no matter how many of the modern texts that are written, goes all around, around Mary. By the way, do you realize that they're redefining the word virgin in our world today? It's coming. It's already in place. But notice in this one, Mary even made the statement, how can this be? I know not a man. In other words, I've had no direct intercourse or relationship with any man. But notice what it says in Matthew 1:23, and I love this. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. Man, I love that Matthew story. Joseph loved Mary. And now Mary comes on the scene, and what does he say to her? You're expecting? Yes, Joseph. And it was announced by an angel to me that I'm carrying the Son of God. Now, come on, guys. I know there's only three men in here right now, but we might have other men elsewhere. How many of us would say, I find that hard to believe? And the beauty of it is that Joseph, as he struggled with that thought at night, what did he say? I don't know. How can I put her away so that no one will be affected? And then the beauty came down. As he struggled in the night's rest, then came an angel. Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife. She does have the Messiah within her womb. She is honest with you. There's no one else. And notice what you're going to call his name. Emmanuel. There's so many songs. Michael W. Smith wrote one called Emmanuel, God is with us. He also did, there was also Michael Card, Emmanuel, our God is with us. And it's just a beautiful song. And all it does is it just rings and lets it resonate. There is only one Messiah, and his name is Jesus. Next slide, if you will. Notice the next one that we see. For unto us a child is born. This is Isaiah 9:6-7. Great, great verses. I got to read this. I don't care what time it says. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Stop there for a moment. By the way, all modern translations take that comma out between wonderful and counselor. Those are two different words. He is wonderful and he is counselor. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. And look what it says in Luke 1:31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, which is Jehovah saves. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. By the way, you want to talk about something powerful, go look it up sometime, all those different things that were stated. There's sermons to be preached about wonderful. There's sermons to be preached about counselor. There's sermons to be preached about the Almighty God. There's sermons to be preached about the Everlasting Father. By the way, did you ever think about Jesus as your brother and your father? All rolled into one? That's pretty good, isn't it? Well, there's also sermons to be preached about the Prince of Peace. Well, again, we see these particular verses, and I got a lot more that I could go into, but isn't it amazing that we can take those verses alone and rest assured that we know the truth? Jesus can be relied upon that He is Messiah. And how do we know this? Because He fulfilled every promise that was given to Him from the beginning. All right, we're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer, and then let's get ready for our morning service. Father, again, thank You for Your goodness. Bless the message, and Lord, just lead us and watch over us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.